Okay, good. Vacher Vosay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem Tes. We have a couple of Mishnayos and then some Agadata, actually, maybe the first Agadata, if I'm not mistaken, maybe in Pesachim. But we're still here on Mem Ches Mem Beis by the last Mishnah on the daf. And it says as follows, Si'ur. Now, again, we had mentioned this before on the Masechta, but just to clarify, Si'ur is different than Se'or. So obviously they have to be confusing and sound the same, but si'ur is dough that has not risen yet, and the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to talk about at what point do we view this dough as if it has turned into chametz. So'or, as we've been talking about, is a leavening agent, either yeast or some sort of fermented whatnot, and that obviously is already a problem in and of itself. But si'ur, if we're talking about this dough, so then yisara, if you need to burn it, and we're going to see exactly at what point do you need to burn it. There's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda here. Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see in the Gemara. I was going to say Rabbi Meir, but we'll explain in a second. But basically, we're going to say that this is chametz nukshe. Again, as we'll explain, and it's not asumi daraisa, but it definitely still has to be disposed of. So va'ochlo potter, and again, this is exactly the point, meaning that if someone who eats it, you are a potter, right? You're not chayev, let's say the kares or malchus for eating that chametz on Pesach, right? Siduk. Now this is already dough that is already starting. You're already able to see the lines forming in the dough. So then yisari, if that already has to be burned, va'ochlo chayev kares, and if you eat it, then you chayev kares, right? That's mamish chametz. Now the important point is ezu si'or. What is si'ur and what is siduk? Right? What do you have to obviously know the difference, right? Because it won't, but so you have to get rid of it either way, but eating it will either result in the chayev kares or nothing. So what is si'ur? So kikarne chagovim, like the antenna, like the horns, literally, of grasshoppers. Right, that's when the cracks in the dough are like that. Siduk, what is that? So that's shenis arvu sdokim zevazet. That's already when the lines have kind of intermingled, and then they're already the cracks are already growing into each other. Dev Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Chachamim omrim, and we see the chachamim is Rabbi Meir. Right, again, we've quoted this already about a week ago. Zev is a ha'ochlo chayev kares. No, in terms of both of those things that you just mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda, both of those are asur chayev kares. Ezu si'ur, what is si'ur though? Kol she'ech sifu pon of kadam she'omdo se'ar osof. Anything that has turned almost like a pale, right? His face, the blood has drained from his face, like someone whose hairs have stood up on his skin, like someone who's afraid, like the blood drains from your face, right? You turn a little pale. So that's when with the dough, right? Conversely, the dough starts turning pale. That's already before the leavening process, and therefore, if you have to get rid of it, but if you eat it, you're not going to be chayev, according to Rabbi Meir. So Tana Rabbi Meir de Raisa, Ezu Si'ur, what is Si'ur? Kol Shech Sivu Panav Ka'adam Ha'omdo She'omdo Sa'arosav. Okay, again, we can see that's Rabbi Meir. Siduk, what's Siduk? That's Kigarni Chagavim. That's like the grasshopper's antennas. That's Divrei Rabbi Meir. Right? The Chachamim moment, and the Chachamim say, Ezu Si'ur, Kigarni Chagavim. Siduk is Shinis Arvus Dokim, Ze Okay, right. Vizavaza, Ha'uchlu Chayev Karis. Again, that's Rabbi Yehuda. I've Anantana and Si'ur Yisari Fa'uchlu Potter, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Well, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that if you eat Si'ur, you are Potter? So, he must therefore explain that the Rabbi Meir zev zeh ha'ochlo chayev kares. Like we explained in the Mishnah, I kind of jumped the gun, but what Rabbi Meir would say that both of the definitions of Rabbi Yehuda's si'ur and siduk would actually be chametz that you'd be chayev kares for. But according to Rabbi Meir, right, the first step of that process is when the dough starts turning pale, like someone who is afraid. Rava says, my time is Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's logic? Because ein lecha kol sadek v'sadek, or sadak v'sadak, min lemalash, ein bo kama sadakim min lemata. Rabbi Meir's shita is that the second you start seeing cracks in the top of the dough, so mistama, that connotes that there is cracks underneath, and that is already chametz. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you see on top is what you see on bottom. According to Rabbi Meir, he says that basically if you see the cracks on top, it must be that there are more cracks underneath, and maybe the chametz inside the dough is already starting to congeal and form, and therefore you're going to be chayef. Okay, fine. Mishnah, another Mishnah at the top of Mem Tes. Arba shechalios b'Shabbos, like this year, mitzvah shem heri bana beis hamikdash, all this stuff will become relevant. But certainly this Mishnah is definitely relevant for us this year. Right? What do you do with your chametz on when Erev Pesach is Shabbos? So Mevarim is called Lefnei Shabbos to Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you got to get rid of everything before Shabbos, right? Everything except for whatever you need to eat on Shabbos. Right? Again, you need meals, so yeah, you can keep that. Discussion whether you need two meals or three meals. Okay, that's ready for the Rishonim and the Achorim, etc. But Reb Meir says that you need. You get rid of everything on Erev Shabbos. Now, there's also a discussion that we've shown him whether Rabbi Meir means to say that the only way you're allowed to get rid of chametz is burning it, right? Because theoretically, if you flush it down the toilet on Shabbos, what's the problem? Right. So that's a whole discussion again. Ayin Shum. I don't remember who says what, but definitely the Rishonim talk about whether Rabbi Meir means to say that the only way you can burn your chametz is through burning, and then obviously you're not allowed to burn it on Shabbos, and that's why you have to do it on Erev Shabbos, or no, there's another reason here going on. All right, either way, meaning why would it be usher then if you could just flush it down the toilet? So according to the Rishonim, behold, the Meir holds says that you can flush it down the toilet. That's an extra tircha. There's a din, we're going to learn Masechus Beitza, that you're not allowed to do something that you could have done in Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. It's because in tircha yisera, it's extra work, it's extra tircha, extra bother. You should have gotten rid of the chametz before Pesach. Okay, so either way, it's Machlokes Rishonim what Rabbi Meir's shita is. The Chachamim say, no, just get rid of it, Bismano, get rid of it on Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok Gomer, he says, no, I'll make a split. Truma milifnei Shabbos, v'chulin Bismano. Truma you do before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to, it's much harder to get rid of, Rashi says. It's much harder to get rid of, right? You can't eat it, you can't give it to animals, right, it's not so posh to find a coin, so therefore make sure you get rid of the truma beforehand. But on Shabbos, right, again, if you have leftover chametz, anybody will be walking by the street, you say, here, come finish my chametz, everything will be fine. So that's why he says you can have chulin, you can get rid of the chulin on Shabbos as well. Tani Wilander, Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Lazar, Bar Tzadok Gomer, he tells a story to kind of prove his shita, which actually doesn't really prove his shita, but we'll see in a second. Pamachas Shabbos Abba B'Yavne, right, one Shabbos I was with my father in Yavne, right? Maybe the oldest yeshiva that's still around, Karen B'Yavne. Right? V'chal arbasar lios b'Shabbos, and sure enough, Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. U'baz Zonin, that's a guy. Zonin came, Mamona Shor Rabbi Gamliel, he was the servant of Rabbi Gamliel. V'amar higia eis levayar z'chametz. He said, all right, boys, time to get rid of the chametz. V'alachti achar abba v'yarno z'chametz, and sure enough, I followed my father, and we got rid of our chametz, mistama on Shabbos. Now that doesn't necessarily prove his shita, right? That only proves the Chachamim Shita, right? Because again, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok, this doesn't mention anything about chametz. He made the split about truma. He made the split about truma and chulin. Okay, fine, but at least he's in that camp of allowing the chametz to be disposed of on Shabbos. Aholich lishchodet pescho v'lu molas b'no v'lechol sudas erisin b'veis chamov. Let's say a person's going to do a mitzvah. Either he's going to shecht korban Pesach, or he's going to do a bris milah on his son, or to go to the shavu brachos. Or really not Shabbat brachos, or go to a wedding, right? Suda mitzvah. V'nizkar sheyesh lo chametz pesach basin, he remembers, ach, I forgot to throw out the cereal in my cabinet. So im yachol lachzor levayir v'lachzor lemitzvah, so yachzor v'yivayir. If a person can go back home, get rid of the chametz, and then go back and finish, complete his mitzvah, meaning if he's not going to miss out on the mitzvah, then yachzor v'yivayir, he should go back and he should burn it, v'mla, but if he can't, then just mevatlo belibo, right, then he should kind of just do bittel again. If you remember from the first daf, bittel ba'al masagi, right? It's enough midaraisa to be mevatel your chametz, right? And we want to get rid of it and do bedika, etc. Because you may find something, etc. Come to eat it. Okay, but fine if you're stuck. So then, bittel ba'al masagi, just be mevatel it in your heart. Latzil min anachrim min anahar min alistim min adleika min amapolas. But let's say it's an issue of sakanas nefashos. You're trying to go to save someone from goyim or from a river, from drowning or from thieves or from a fire or from amapolas is a building that fell down. So then yivatel belibo. Then you should just do bittel. Right, we're not playing around. Right, there are lives at stake here. Don't play around with wasting any time. If velishvos shvizas harishos, this takes us back to Masechus Erevin. Let's say someone is going to set up right, in an Erev Tchum, outside of where he's living, right, and that's for a reshus, right, not for necessarily for a mitzvah, but just because that's, you know, he wants to go see grandma or whatever. So yachzor miyad, then he should go back, because again, you're doing a reshus, you're not doing a mitzvah, so therefore you have another mitzvah that's, you know, you're waiting to be done, i.e. bir chometz, so then you should go do that. V'chein mi sheyatzim Yerushalayim, so too. The same halacha is true, if not only by chometz, but also by kachim. If a person left Yerushalayim v'nizkar sheyis biyado basar kodesh, when you're leaving Yerushalayim, kachim kalim, right, let's say regular shlamim, korban, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Let's say you're traveling outside Yerushalayim and you realize, ugh, I threw that sandwich in my knapsack. And it's kachim. The meat is, the corned beef is kachim. So, im avar tsofim, sorfavim, gomo, vim lav, chozervis, sorfavim, neabira. If you already passed tsofim, now tsofim is a machogos, Rashi tells us whether that is the name of a place or just means the lookouts outside Yerushalayim. Rashi says it's the name of a place. Tosa says, what are you talking about? Yerushalayim has many exits. nowadays, unfortunately, less so, but because, you know, not so many exits outside Yerushalayim, which are smart to take and safe to take, but, you know, Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash, you can travel, you can leave Yerushalayim in any direction. So what is Tzofim being? Okay, so what Tosa says, it just means one of the lookouts or whatever. So if you pass that already, so then you can just burn it where you are, and if not, you should go back and you should burn it Lefnei Abira, in front of the Mizbeach, and the place to burn, you know, kachim that were nifsulu. Again, kachim that were taken outside Yerushalayim, they're pasul, you can't eat them. So you have to burn them. So the lechora to go back and burn them in Yerushalayim. Now, that's it's not a chiyuv to burn it in Yerushalayim. But the question here is simply whether you're allowed to take some of the fuel. Again, there was if you burned it in Yerushalayim or some area near the Mizbeach or whatever, so then they would give you wood to burn it. Maybe you could use the wood of the Bira. But then, so you don't actually have to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. You can do it in Yerushalayim. But if you're outside Yerushalayim, so then you have to use your own wood. So that's the question. That's the issue over here. I mean, if he wants to get wood for the burning of the kachim, then he has to do it in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry, I skipped. Right, my bad. I cut it short a little bit. Chozer v'sorfav nevira me'atze ha'maracha. That's the point I wanted to bring out. They take the wood from the maracha, the wood that was supposed to be on the mizbeach. Right, so they would also give you some of that wood. You could burn it in your shalai. But again, if you were outside, so then obviously you couldn't use that. V'akamim chozer, how far? Right, that was how far you should return, depending on where you are. But hadkama, how much of it, of the item in question, of the kachim here, do you have to, or the chametz, it's good. Do you have to have in order for you to go back? Meir Omer Zevzev a kabeitza, both shear are a kabeitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zevzev a kazayis, no, the shear is a kazayis. V'chachamim Omer Basar Kodesh, v'kazayis, v'chametz v'kabeitza, is a split. Kachim is a kazayis, and chametz is a kabeitza. Tosus just points out, Dibur Maskel v'chachamim, what's the split over here? Since by kachim, you can't fix it by just being mevatalit, so they were machmir that even a kazayis you should go back and burn. But for chametz, since you could be mevatalit, so they weren't so machmir, and they said only a kabeitza is the shear that you have to go back for. Right? Okay, fine. Or Minu, I'll ask you a question. Hold on. The Braisa tells me, apparently you see that a sudas erisin is not a mitzvah. Again, if you remember, one of the mitzvahs recorded was a sudas erisin, Shavu Brachos, a wedding, feast. And the Mishnah said you can be mevatalet because it's a mitzvah. And here we're listing it in the things that are rishus. And it says you have to go back right away. So what's the deal? So Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha ha Yehuda ha Rabbi Yossi. It's a machlokas. The Tanya, sudas erisin rishus, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, omer mitzvah. Right? The question is simply whether partaking of that type of suda is a mitzvah. Now, one second. Now, sudas erisin, now that I'm thinking about it, is not necessarily shavur brachos. I kept on saying shavur brachos. Now that it just hits me in the head, now I've been saying it several times. A sudas erisin is a suda that we do, again, back in the day, we do erisin and nisuin together. We did everything. That's two stages in marriage, right? First, the erisin, and then the nisuin, the completion of the marriage. Now, back then, they would do it in two separate steps, often a year apart, so the husband could take a year off and make a parnasa. Now it's kind of the opposite, take a year off and go learn, but either way, you take a year and make a parnasa for his wife. So they used to do the erisin beforehand. So the sudas erisin is that first stage in marriage. And the question is whether that is a mitzvah or not. So that's the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, just to be clear. But now the Rav Chisda said, sorry, that the machlokes here is with the second suuda that they would do. Meaning they would do a suuda as erusin, right? You'd have almost like an engagement party, right? And then there'd be another suuda, as Rashi explains, and the Gemara's going to explain in a second, that they would go back and they would get some gifts. And there would be another suda. So the machlokes, according to Rav Chisda, is that the machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, that the second suda is the machlokes. But everybody agrees that the erusin, the engagement party, that is a mitzvah. That suda is a suda's mitzvah. So then afilu teima havah Rabbi Yehuda. You can even say that the Mishnah and the Braisa are both Rabbi Yehuda. Velo kasha havah suda rishona, havah suda shnia. And the split simply is that in the Mishnah we're talking about a suda rishona, the first one that everybody agrees is a mitzvah. Therefore, it depends on whether you can go back and burn your chametz or not in time. But the Braisa, it says you have to go back right away. That's, you're talking about a Sudas Rishos, and that is a Sudas Shnia, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that you have to go back and burn your chametz. And again, obviously, the second meal is not a mitzvah, so therefore, you have to go burn your chametz. That's the mitzvah you have to do. Tanya will end the rest. So, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati el Sudas Erisin, avalo sevlonos. So that's exactly what we're talking about. The sevlonos is the mitzvah, is the second Suda, where they would get gifts, where they get matanos. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that the second one is not a mitzvah. And I'm Rabbi Yossi, ani shamati sudas erusin v'sivlonos. Right, I heard that both of them are a mitzvah. And again, that reflects the brisa that we said before. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, we learned in a brisa called sudas she'inos shel mitzvah, ein talmid chacham rashai lahenos mimenu. Now we have some agadata, some starkingly harsh agadata. And, you know, sometimes when you're faced with such harsh agadata, you know, sometimes, you know, it's whitewashed. I guess, you know, we definitely always try and understand according to our own sensitivities, and you'll see what I mean in a minute. But it's also important to take, you know, to read the Rishonim and to see what the Gemara means and take it at necessarily at face value, and kind of it's always good to reassess, you know, our own sensitivities. Meaning, the questions on the Gemara shouldn't come from modern day sensitivities. We should always try to understand it, but the Gemara doesn't need to get kashas. There is a general Ashkava point. Whenever anything in Yiddishkeit seemed a little strange to us, the kash is not on the Gemara. The kash is the other way. The kash is on our sensitivities. And, you know, again, it's always good to reconcile the two. But, you know, if we get weirded out from some statements that are, you know, in the Gemara, so it's important to understand them, but also important to come at the statements from a place of, okay, the Torah and the Chachamim is the MS, and if that seems weird to me, so then I have to figure out why that seems weird, and then obviously work from there and try and then come to understanding of exactly what's going on. So let's with that background, let's dive into these. Rabbi Shimon says, any suda that's not a suda, mitzvah talmid chacham should not get benefit from. Kigon, why? Like what? I'm Rabbi Yochan, kigon bas kohen li Yisrael, like a suda for that when a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, bas talmid chacham nama aretz, or a talmid chacham's daughter marries a nama aretz. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, bas kohen li Yisrael, ein zivugon ole yofe. If a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, that their shidduch is not such a good idea. The shidduch is not going to work. Mahi, what is that? So Amar Rav Chista says, O almana, O grusha, O zera ein la. Either she'll be a widow, or she'll be divorced, or she won't have kids. Either she will bury him, he will bury her, or they will end up being poor. Gemara says, one second, Amy, is that really true? All this, that's intense. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Arutza she's Asher Yidbak Bizarro Shal Aaron. Someone who wants to become rich should marry into Aaron's family, meaning marry Bas Kohen. So Gemara says, Kol Shegeisha Torah V'Gunam is Asroson, because certainly the Torah and the Gehuna will make them rich. So Gemara says, Lokasha Haba Talmud Chacham Haba Haaretz, meaning when you're telling me that things will work out and they'll become rich, etc., etc., that's by Talmud Chacham marries into Cohen's family, but by Nama Haaretz, so that will you will have all the problems that we said before. Now we should preface and just explain a little bit that when the Gemara talks about Nama Haaretz, there are various stages of amaratzus. As I used to have a Rebbe who used to say, you're all amaratzim, which is, he was probably right. But there's various stages of amaratzim. Now, this is someone, an amaratz can be someone who simply doesn't know the halacha and ignorant, but is in general has a good heart. Their amaratzim, which the Gemara Mistama will assume, will take the position that the amaratzim that this Gemara is talking about are people who are not only ignorant, but they are very anti, and they will act on such anti feelings. So therefore, again, the idea is that they are dangerous to one's spirituality because they're anti and negative, and certainly not. Not a good idea to hang around with if you're for a person interested in growth and learning and spiritual ideas. So it's always good to keep in mind that when the Gemara says these types of things, they can certainly we're talking about amaratzim here, as you'll see, who are trying to make trouble. But that's perhaps why the harshness of the language comes into play, because listen. Tachlis, we're interested in spirituality and Yiddishkeit, and if someone's going to bring you down, so the Gemara has no time for that. Right? It has no patience, as they say in the vernacular. It has no chill. All right. Anyway, Rabbi Yehoshua Nasiv Kahanta Chalosh. Rabbi Yehoshua married a Bas Kohen and Chalosh, and he got sick. Amar the Amar, and he said, Lo Nichu La'aron Da'advig Bizarre. The Bizarre. Right. Apparently, Aaron is not happy that he married into his family. That he has a son-in-law, obviously many generations later, but he has a son-in-law like myself. So Ravidi Bar Avin also married Bas Kohen. And Nafku Minei Trey Bani Smiche. And he had two children who ended up getting Smicha. Rav Sheshes Bered Ravidi, Rav Yishua Bered Ravidi. So you see that he did have kids who were Talmidei Chachamim. Amar of Papa, right? Again, just the experiences of different Amoraim and Amoraim. Really, I'm all right. Right, marrying Bas Kohen. Rav Papa says, "Ilo nisivna kahanta." If I didn't marry Bas Kohen, lo yarti, I would not have become rich. I'm Rav Kahana. Ilo nisivna kahanta. And I had always thought Rav Kahana was a Kohen. Apparently not. Right? Apparently not true. If you look at the Tosos on Amud Beis, I think it's printed on Amud Beis, right? Mashma Delo Hava Kohen, right? You're going to see that again. What is this all talking about? About a Yisrael who marries a Bas Kohen. So I always thought Rav Kahana was a Kohen, right? The first Tosos on Amud Beis says, apparently, you see from this story that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, but he was married to a Kohen. So, all right. Amar Rav Kahana, Ilo Nisivna Kahanta, if I had not married a Bas Kohen, Lo Gloy, I never would have ended up in Golos. Now, obviously, his wife didn't kick him out. This is what happened. Was Amrulei v'hala makom Torah galisa. They said to him, "Listen, Rebbe, you got kicked out to makom Torah. Well, you ended. Rav Kahana ended up in Bavel." The story of the Gemara in Bava Kama. I think it's in Bava Kama. At the end of one of the Bavels, I forget exactly where, is that Rav Kahana found a Jew who was being a moser. A moser is someone who's trying to incite the government to steal or to take lives or to kidnap. Basically, a Jew who's inciting the non-Jewish government to mess with the Jews. So the din is, halacha is, if it's really that bad, so you are allowed to kill him. So if Kahana did so, he killed him, had to flee because obviously that Jew was on the government's good side. So Rav Kahana had to run to Bavel. So either way, so he said if he had not married Bas Kohen, he would never had been exiled. I guess he attributed it to that because apparently it was... he felt that apparently it was not inappropriate, but that's what happened. So they said, Rebbe, what do you mean? You came to a Makom Torah. Bavel was widely regarded as a place, that was perhaps not on a greater level. There's always machlokes between the Tanaim and the Amoraim of Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael, but certainly a Makom Torah, not a lousy place. So he said that back to them, Lo Gloy Kadigle Inshi. It wasn't, in Echinami, I came here, but I came here not like a normal person comes here. I came here running for my life. So I wasn't able to, settle down with the peace of mind that would be required. Anybody who has Hana from a Suda's Rishus ends up in Galus, Shinemar, Vauchlim, Karim, Mitzon, Vagalim, Mitoch, Marbek, Uksiv, right? It says right after that, Vachain, Ata, Yiglu, Barosh, Golem. Right? It's reminiscent of the statement that someone who eats from a Shulchan without the great Torah eats from Zivchai Mason. So again, it's an easy way to remedy that. Someone who, anytime you talk Torah at a Suda, so that's has some status of a Suda's Mitzvah. So therefore, you don't have to worry about eating from a sudas rishos, if you always make sure to have some sort of divrei Torah there, you don't have to worry about going to galus as according to this gemara. Tana Rabbi Olam Devar Brisa. Kol Tam Chacham Amar Besudaso Bechol Makom Sof Machriv Es Beso Rachman Letzlan. A Tana Chacham who stays too long by a suda, he pounds by. You know, he keeps on enjoying himself, indulges in the physical pleasures by a suda too much. So then, Rachman Atzlan, he destroys his house, from Alman Ishto, he widows his wife, and Umiyasim is Gozlov, he makes his children Yusomim, V'talmudu Mishtachach Mimenu, he forgets his learning, Machlokos Rabos Bozolov, he has a lot of arguments, V'dvarav Inon Nishmayim, people don't listen to him, V'chal Shem Shamayim is V'chal Shem Shamayim, a lot of harsh words here, V'talmud Chacham, who pounds at the shmorg, yeah? V'shem rabo, v'shem ovi, v'gorim shem ra, lo, l'bano, l'bnei banov. He's mechal the name of his Rebbe, of his father. He caused a bad name to come to him and to his kids, to his grandchildren. Ad sof kol doros till the end of time. Maihi, shish, maihi, what was that? I mean, how so? Like, that seems to be, intense. So, Amar Rabbi, what are they going to call him? Karule bar mecham tanuri, a guy who warms up the ovens. Meaning, a guy who, a little bit too much of a geschmack for the physical. Ravo Amar bar markid beikove, someone who dances in bars. And again, if that's where Tam Chacham is hanging out, so yeah, okay. Rav Papa Amar bar malchich pinchi, someone who licks plates. Okay, Rav Shame Amar bar mach reva, someone who, what's it called, who folds up and on his garment. If you look at Rashi, he folds over his clothing and he falls asleep like that. Right? Again, because he's drinking too much, that's how he ends up falling asleep at the table with his, you know, if you ever see someone wearing a bekesha, folds over his coat and sits down. So same idea. He's eating with his clothing folded over. He's falling asleep with his clothing folded over, like he's sitting at a table. Tana Rabbi Olam Devar Brisa. La'olam yimkar adam kol mash yeshlo v'yisa bas tam l'chacham. A person should sell whatever he's got. If that's what's going to cost, do whatever you can. Marry the daughter of a tam l'chacham. She meis ogola, because if Rachman Atzlan, he dies, or he's exiled, muftach lo shebonav tam l'di chachamim. You'll see that if the wife is here, shamayim, and bas tam l'chacham, so she'll take care of the kids if Rachman Atzlan, the father, has to go away. A person shouldn't marry the daughter of an Amaretz, she may so gola, because if he dies or gets exiled, banav Amaratzim, right? Your children will be Amaratzim. Tanur Rabbanu and Rabbeisa, lolim yimkor adam kol mash yishol v'yisabas tamachacham, right? And also, v'yasi bitol tamachacham. He should also sell whatever he's got to make sure his daughter marries the tamachacham. Mashal, inveyageven binveyageven, davrna imiskabel. Famous, I forget if it's Avram Fried or Mordechai ben David, but famous Avram ben, one of them has a song like that, right? Inveyageven binveyageven, davrna imiskabel. Right? The mashal is, when you merge a vine with a vine, so it's a beautiful, right? When you combine two grapevines, so it comes out very nice, right? You have the grapes that come out are good. You shouldn't marry the daughter of a tamachav, of an amaretz. Mashal, what's that compared to? Right? If you would merge, or whatever the word is, graft, I guess is the word. The vine, right? Grapes, a vine to a sna, right? Today's parsha. To a thorn bush, right? Kadavar kur, something that is disgusting, something that is ugly. Ve'enu miskabel, something that is not so nice. And people do not like that. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan v'lein d'rabaisa. Lo'olam yimkor adam kol ma she'esh lo v'yisa v'as tam l'chacham. Right? Again, as we said before, a person should always sell whatever he's got and marry the daughter of a tam l'chacham. Lo matza bas tam l'chacham, if he doesn't find the daughter of a tam l'chacham, yisa bas g'dolei ador. He should find the daughters of the Gedolei Ador. Now that obviously sounds counterintuitive, right? Aren't the Gedolei Ador greater than the Tam Chacham? So Rashi says, no, the Gedolei Ador in the Gemara here talks about Anshei Maisa V'Tzadikim. He talks about a Fruma Yid, shall we say. If he's not a Tam Chacham, he's a Fruma Yid. He's an Anshei Maisim. Right? He's a Tzadik, but right, not a Gedolei Ador like we use the phrase. Lo Matabas Gedolei Ador, Yisa Bas Roshi Knesios. You should find, if you can't find that, you should find someone who's in charge of the shul, right? The Gabbai. Lo Matabas Roshi Knesios, Yisa Bas Gabbai Tzedakai. Or if you don't find that, you should find the guy in charge of the Tzedakai box. Lo Matabas Gabbai Tzedakai, Yisa Bas Milam De Tinakos. Or if you don't find the guy in charge of the Tzedakai, find someone, the daughter of someone who is teaching, even an elementary school teacher, And you should not marry the daughter of an Amoret. Yikes! And again, I jumped the gun a little bit by explaining why what kind of Amoret we're talking about here. An Amoret who's really gonna you know, be anti and contrarian and really mess with the person's Yerush Shemayim. So what do they say about this? You shouldn't marry the daughter of Amoretz because they are like shkatzim. They are shekets, right? Again, the creepy crawling things that are tummy when they die. Their wives are sheratzim, and about their children, about their daughters, it says, cursed is someone who sleeps with an animal. Right? Yikes. Right? Not that it's not being it's not being non-PC. It's not being impolitically correct, whatever the other side of politically correct is. It's not doing that. What it means is, if you look at Rashi, they don't understand, meaning they're not aware, they're not sensitive to spirituality and halacha and raising that type of household. It's not trying to be mean. It's just trying to say, listen, this is the facts, right? You marry the daughter of Talmud Chacham, you're not going to be able to raise if you marry the daughter of an Amoret, you're not going to be able to raise your Shemayim take a family. Tanya Melinda Raisa, Rabbi Omer Amoretz Asur Lecho Basar. Right? An Amoretz is not allowed to eat meat. Right? They gotta all be vegan. Shemayim's Pasuk says, Zos Torah HaBeima VeHaOf. This is the Torah, right? And again, that's by Kashrus, that's by Parsha Shmini, right? Of animals, right? Kol HaOsik BaTorah Mutar Lecho Basar BeHaima VeHaOf. Anybody who's learning Torah, he's allowed to eat the meat. VeChol She'ino HaOsik BaTorah Asur Lecho Basar BeHaima VeHaOf. And not if you don't know anything. That heter is only given, as the drasha of Rebbe says, that heter is only given to people who study Torah. Am Rabbi Elazar, Am Aretz Mutar Lenochro Biyom HaKippurim. This is very intense. Right? On Am Aretz, you're allowed to stab him on Yom Kippur, Shechayos B'Shabbos, and even if that fell out on Shabbos. Now, there's a lot of different ways to understand that. Right? Again, his Talmud, right? The Rishonim again point out that we're talking about an Am Aretz who is, you know, again, he's basically morayed, he rebels against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, someone who is guilty and suspected of bad things, someone who's perhaps, I think, one of the Tosfos over here say, I think that we're talking about someone who might have committed murder, or is concerned he's going to steal something. I'm not sure exactly. I'm just trying to skim it. I don't see it over here. I thought I saw it in here. But either way, I'm talking about an Amoretz who's a bad dude, pretty much. Or other Rishonim is that it's not literal, right? The other way we're trying to kind of blow it out of proportion, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Rashba by the Ritva says that we're trying to blow this out of proportion here, and to show you how bad having the company of Amoretz is, right? You're even quote unquote allowed to stab him on Yom Kippur. That's Shabbos. Like, what do you need all these details, right? They're just, right, obviously not necessarily supposed to be literal. What's the difference between stabbing him on Yom Kippur? That's on the Tuesday versus Yom Kippur on Shabbos. And what's the difference between stabbing him on Shabbos, which is not Yom Kippur? Exactly. Meaning the Gemara here is kind of exaggerating here to show you how bad it is to have company with an Amoretz. So Amar lo Talmidov, they said to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Amar lo Shochto, why did you say you should shecht him? That's a better way to dispose of him. So Amar lahen, Zeton bracha was a Einaton bracha. So you see the Gemara is exaggerating here. Oh, because shechting a Jew, shechting an Amoretz, right, that would require a bracha, but not shechting him, that wouldn't, and he shouldn't make a bracha. As you can see, the Gemara seems to be almost talking in exaggeration, in colorful language, shall we say. Rabbi Elazar says, Amoretz asr lislavos imo baderech. You're not allowed to go with him on a journey. Shinemar ki hi chayechav orech yamecha. Right, but it is the Torah is your life and the length of your days. And if he doesn't care about his own life, meaning learning Torah is the way that we continue, that we stay alive. Right? And this guy is an Amoretz, he doesn't care at all. Right? Obviously, he chucked it. So if he doesn't care about his own life, he's not going to care about your life either. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amoretz mutar lekoro kedag. You're allowed to cut him open like a fish. You're allowed to flay him like a fish. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Umigavo. You're allowed to flay him from the back. Right, as Rashi says, to sulo chai, right? If you flame from the back, then he's not going to be able to survive. All right. Again, more of the harsh language here. Tanya Melinda Rabbeisa. I'm Rabbi Akiva Kishaisi Amoretz. And Rabbi Akiva says, when I was an Amoretz, right? Again, think about it. Rabbi Akiva was an Amoretz. So again, I don't know if Rabbi Akiva was stealing and anti and contrarian and perhaps threatening to kill people. Perhaps a different type of Amaretz, but he still says, when I was an Amaretz, Amarti, I would say, Mi yitin li Talmud Chacham v'anashchenu kechamor. Who will give me a Talmud Chacham so I can bite him like a donkey? So I'm really Talmud of Rebbe. I'm working Kelev. A dog, it's more normal that a dog would bite, not a donkey. So I'm Allahem, Zed no shech v'shover etzim, Zed no shech v'inoshover etzim. No, 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 I meant a donkey, because a dog bites, it doesn't break bones. But if a donkey bites down, it breaks the bones. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva said, when I was an Amaretz, I hated Talmud Chachamim so much, I wanted to bite them and break their bones. Unfortunately, Rachman al-Tzan, you see the discord and the disconnect between Amaratzim and Talmid Chachamim, that the stupid hatred that there is between, unfortunately, Amaratzim and Talmid Chachamim, and you do see the other way, that the distaste, as the Gemara says, you know, you do certainly see distaste between Talmid Chachamim and Amaratzim as well, but certainly, unfortunately, we know that sometimes the people who stir up trouble against the from Jews the most are Jews themselves, who have either left or never learned anything about the religion. And yeah, unfortunately, there is this this tension between Amaratzim and Talmid Chacham. Certainly true nowadays to nowadays as well. Tani we learned in Abraisa, Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Hamesi Bitul Amaretz Kilu Kofto Minicha Lef Ne'ari. Someone who marries his daughter to an Amaretz, as if he tied her up in front of a lion. Ma'ari Doris Ochal, just like a lion destroys the food that he eats. Ve'in Lo Boshes Upanim, he's not embarrassed. Av Amaretz Maka Uboel Ve'in Lo Boshes Upanim. Also, an Amaretz is not careful, does not abide by the laws of Tznias. He's not sensitive to his wife when they are together. And it is the same thing, says Rabbi Meir. Tanya Rabbi Lezer, Omer Rabbi Lezer says, if they didn't need us for their own parnasa, they would kill us. It says the Amaratz, talking about the Amaratz, the Hamunam. Tanya will learn Rabbi Rabbi Chia taught, Kala Osik Batorah Lefnei Amaretz, Ki Yilu Bol Arusasu Befonav. Someone who learns Torah in front of an Amaretz, not that, again, this is not talking about Kiruv here, this is talking about someone who's learning Torah, the Amaretz can't understand it, he's not interested, but he does it in front of him. It's as if he's sleeping with his fiance right in front of him. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha, Al Tikri Marasha, Ela Me'orasa. Again, it causes great consternation and upset to the Amaretz. It says, again, he can't have, right, he's not interested in having, but he's not understanding the Torah, and you're learning Torah in front of him. Very often it will upset him greatly. Gedola sina shesonim amei haaretz tamid chacham yoter misina shesonim ovdei chacham mes Yisrael. Right, the hatred that the Amaratzim hate the tamid chachamim is greater than the hatred that the goyim have for the Jews. And who shall say him yoter mehen? And even their wives even worse. Says the Gemara that the wives hate the tamid chachamim even more than the Amaratzim. Shana upiresh yotemikulon. Someone who learned Torah and then chucked it and separated himself, piresh, right? He separated himself. Yosemikulon, he hates Talmid Chachamim more than anybody. Right? Again, because he's already, he knows the deal. He knows all of this stuff. He knows that, that Talmid Chachamim don't like Amaratzim. He has rejected, he's studied it, he's rejected it, and it builds a hatred, the fact that he's not learning, right? It builds a hatred in his heart more than anybody. Tanya Rabbanan learned the Rebbe. Shisha Dvarim Nemru Ba'ame Ha'aretz. There are six things they said about Amaratzim. In Mosrim Lehem Eidos, we don't allow them to be Eidim. Or we don't tell them to be Eidim. Vim Mekablam Imenu Eidos, we don't accept Eidos from them. Vim Megalam Lehem Sod, you shouldn't tell them a secret. Vim Memaninos, because again, they're going to tell anybody, they're not careful about Lashon Hara, etc. Vim Memaninos Apotropos Al Yisomim, we don't appoint them in charge of the estate of orphans, God forbid, because we're concerned they're going to steal. Vim Memaninos Apotropos Al Kupa Shal Tzedaka, certainly they're not in charge of Tzedaka, because they could steal. Vim Mitlavin Imohim Vaderech, a person shouldn't accompany them on a journey either. Vish Omrim Af Ein Machrizin Alevidaso. Some people say you shouldn't even announce their lost object, right? We know beginning of Bava Metzia, right? Right? How do you know? Right? You announce a lost object, etc., etc. All that stuff. Now, how do you know that if it's a lost object, how do you know it came from an Amaretz? So Tosfos suggests maybe you saw it drop from a group of Amaratzim. There are a couple, 10, 20 of them traveling together, and you're not sure who it was from. Now, you shouldn't even announce their lost objects. Again, because they're going to steal, they're going to be untruthful in their attempt to try and claim the object. But Tanakama implying that many that we learned this whole brisa, right, was Tana, with Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Apparently, the Tanakama disagrees with that. Apparently, what does he say? Meaning that you shouldn't. Meaning that you should announce. Because it says v'yesh omrim. Some people say that you shouldn't announce his lost object because he's going to be untruthful and unworthy. Because apparently, what does the Tanakhama hold? Right, we had this whole list. Right, we had there are six things that they say about an amaretz, and the yesh omrim. Some people say a seventh. So, what does the Tanakhama apparently hold that you should announce if you find the lost object from an amaretz? So, what is his pshat? So he would say zimnin denafik mina zare ma'alya ve'achale, because sometimes an amaretz will have offspring. That is a kosher yid, that is from a yid, and then he'll benefit from the lost object because that was left in his inheritance or whatever. He benefited from the fact that the Amaretz got his object back. Shenamar, because the pasuk says v'yachin v'tzadik yilvash, right? You should prepare, but a tzadik will wear it, meaning that the rasha will prepare something, but the tzadik will often benefit from what the Russia does. Okay, either way, we'll stop at the two dots over here, and we'll go. We'll go right there on the Hilgish Shas tomorrow. Later again, we'll go back to tomorrow to finish the parak. Mitzvah Shem, very exciting. And okay, we'll do that when the time comes. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.